It's hot.
It's hot.
Look, I have a special shirt on, so it has built-in vents on the shoulder.
Does that help?
Yeah, it's 95 here, but I feel a cool, 65-degree cucumber.
Did you make those vents?
No, this is actually a really, really nice shirt for really hot weather. It's Patagonia, and it's super light. You can, see through it, but... Uh-huh. The seams are not stitched, they're taped. And this is 10 years old, and the tape finally is giving away.
Oh.
So you can see I dress up for the show properly.
Now, does that help wearing a shirt? Why not just go shirtless?
For the show? I actually considered it. You want me to go shirtless for the show?
No. I mean running. Why wear a shirt running?
No, I agree. I didn't wear a shirt this morning when I ran. Okay. And
So you're just wearing this for us?
To be politically correct, yeah. Because if I take the shirt off now, I'm going to have at least single digits of females just oogling me. And quite honestly, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be doing. And it's step off, you know?
Yeah, that's understandable. That's a good reason.
This is my life. I have to deal with it. So here I am with my
poor thing.
Vintage shirt. Yeah.
We all feel bad for you.
Good, good. Let's start the show.
Okay.
Wait, I gotta hit my buttons and get ready. All right, you ready?
Okay. Yes.
Grace, another FKT goes down. And number of miles, Bob Stewart has plenty. Let's talk about how it all went down on episode 120. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. It is hotter than Satan's crotch up in here.
Yeah. Yep, it sure is.
You had near 100. I had stupid hot. I don't care. It's too hot. It can't do anything outside. I had off today. I tried to do stuff till I couldn't, but it was just ugh.
Yeah, it was. It was yeah.
It was ugh. How was your weekend? It's Monday, so the weekend just happened.
Yes, weekend was great. Jason and I went on a little adventure for our anniversary, and it was lovely. And we left pretty early Friday, and we were gone all day Saturday, came home Sunday morning, but still came home with enough time to get laundry done and everything and get settled for the week. So I just feel refreshed and I'm ready to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that really matters is how you feel.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I keep forgetting today's Monday because it didn't work.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was all right. Nothing really to say. Now, I had a funky week last week. I took off Thursday and Friday, and we took Lauren down to Nationals in Philadelphia. I'm not a fan of Philadelphia. I don't like Philadelphia. I don't ever want to go back to Philadelphia, even though I'll go back to Philadelphia.
How about we talk about how great Philadelphia is, and then after the show, I will show you the statistics on how many Philadelphia listeners we have.
Philadelphia is great. No,
it's a great town, a lot of history, great food.
I'm just not a city person anymore. It's where I'm at. I need to spend time in a city to get used to it again. because right now I'm an old lady who freaks out and panics and has anxiety and no thank you. So, but anyway, it was very exciting to go down there for track and field nationals. Lauren got her New Balance backpack, which is like the most important thing. She raced against, like, you won't believe how fast all these girls across the nation are. It's kind of humbling because even states and track and field, like for PA, like there's fast girls, but Lauren's getting pretty far up there. But then you go into the big pond of the nation. Holy moly.
Yeah. And you take those Colorado runners, you know, from Denver and put them at sea level. And those lungs are, whew.
So then to continue my talk about my weekend, because that's what's most important.
That's right, little old lady. Look like you aged like 20 years since last week. So
I feel like I have. Yeah. Uh-huh. Came home Friday. I had to work Saturday because we had the big Laurel Festival in Wellsboro. Oh my God. If you got to come to the Laurel Festival, it's the most amazing thing. Oh my God. Like, you see, there's so many knickknacks by, and oh my God.
There's not too much traffic though, is there? Because
it's funny because like the little cute town of Wellsboro is packed to the gills, and everybody like I work with is like, oh, it's the worst day of the year, blah, blah, blah. And I'm there like just got back from Philly. I'm like, this is amazing. So anyway, because I work Saturday, I had off Sunday and today. So that is my weekend in a nutshell. My running is coming around, I think, slowly, which is good. The deoxycycline, I think, is doing what it's supposed to be, which is good.
You had a nice little track run this morning, right?
I did. I mean, that was kind of a test of my Achilles and stuff, and I'm thrilled with it. So knock on wood, nothing flares up tonight, and we're good. And it's like, I think we went over this, but it's like 95 degrees here, but I made a cup of hot tea for this show and I'm sweating like crazy. Why did I do that?
Because you're a little old lady and little old ladies love hot tea. Yeah. So
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So it was a busy, busy week for all of us. And here we are in the crotch, Satan's crotch of summer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we had, you know, we have Bob Stewart on the show today. He might have the record now for a number of times being on, but I'm starting.
Between me and Jordan, I think.
I'm pretty confident this dude only runs FKTs just to be on our show, like no other reason.
That must be. I think it's just to talk to you, Eric.
Yeah, well, I don't know which one of us, but it only makes sense. Like he's going out, he's picking FKTs. Cause he's like, oh, I can be on the Running Mullet again.
Yeah. I like, so this is what I did last weekend. Last weekend I did some running and I was messaging Jordan the whole time so we could figure out where Bob was because we were following his tracker. And here's the thing is like, I have a million questions. So Bob finished his FKT. And then when he was flying home, I was like, well, I can just ask him a bunch of questions, or I can just ask him if he wants to be on the show and which one is more like efficient. And probably just have him on the show, right? You know
your little name thing at the bottom that you know how to change mine and not.
That's right.
We're on show 120. I still don't know how to change yours.
Yeah.
You should change yours to Grace. I have so many questions, Langhine. Because that is your, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's kind of your thing.
Hey, you know, I don't know if you know this, but typically when you have like a guest on a podcast, you're supposed to ask them questions.
Get out. 120 episodes in and now you're telling me?
It's kind of a thing.
All right.
Kind of a thing.
All right. Let's bring Bob on because Grace, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I have so many questions.
You do?
No, but I just want to start saying your thing.
You come up with thing. Some.
All right, let's bring him on. We kicked him off twice. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks for having me again.
Hey, Bob. And,
hey, how's it going?
Pretty much a bi-weekly thing now.
Yep, Eric, you're somewhat true in the reason why I do FKTs, And it's basically to just go from trail to trail and make friend after friend. I just like meet all these people and they're super cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm making friends with you. So
let's see. The trail you did was the Superior Trail?
Superior Hiking Trail.
Superior Hiking Trail. 300, how many miles?
310 miles. Goes from essentially the border of Canada. I think it's maybe a mile to the border. And then it goes south, following the shore of Lake Superior, down to Duluth, goes through Duluth, and then it goes about 30 to 40 miles further south.
Was this a trail? Have you been on this trail before?
I have not. It's a pretty popular trail. There's a lot of YouTubers that sort of blog their hikes as they go along. And it's got a really big, I didn't even realize, it's got a huge community following. Yeah. It's like the most active Facebook group I've ever, like every time I do an FKT, I always sort of reach out to the communities, ask for information, you know, see the trail conditions, just introduce myself to all the folks. And this group was really active. It's pretty incredible. They have a ton of trail maintainers. Just a lot of people that love this trail. So yeah. It was really cool. Yeah. It was really cool.
Superior 100 is partially on the Superior Hiking Trail. This is one that's been on my radar for a long time. It looks absolutely gorgeous. So when you said you were doing Superior, I was like, man, it's because, like you said, this is, and people who are not from that area, from the Midwest, might not know this, but it is not just a popular hiking trail, but it's a popular route for FKTs. And it already had a pretty aggressive FKT. So I have a lot of questions. And this was not an easy one either. You had to be focused for this FKT.
Absolutely. That's why.
How much elevation gain did it have?
Not a lot. And I can't remember the exact amount, but like compared to the Bent McKay Trail, which I attempted back in March, or even the Mid-State, it's less. I can't remember the exact numbers. It's not as much as the Mid-State, and it's far less than Bent McKay. But it's the terrain is like the roots and the rocks are on par with Pennsylvania, which I was not expecting.
Right. That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how far, Grace? You're not going to be able to ask any questions because I have so many questions.
You do it. Do it. This is good training. I'm going to give you feedback afterwards and let you know how you did.
I forget. Oh, how much did you set the FKT by?
I think it was 2 hours, just over 2 hours, I think.
Oh, yeah. You got it close.
Yeah,
it was Jordan close. And I were like, what is happening? Because his battery went low on his inReach and it stopped doing updates.
Yeah, I always love going dark for a bit and having people freak out. So I knew it was going to be close. So people keep asking me, like, did you know it was going to be this close? And I knew from like day one it was going to be. I was sort of fighting back every single day to get my lead back. I think I took it by a little over 2 hours, and then the previous FKT took it by a little over 2 hours. So it's one of those pretty competitive ones where you just sort of like chip away a little bit and you just get small gains as opposed to like taking a full day off.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, going into it, I was hoping to be faster, but the trail was just so technical that I couldn't really maintain any pace. And so my strategy was, so the previous FKT holder, unsupported, his name's Alan Chapman. And so he had, basically he slept like 7 hours the first night. So I was just like, I'm going to have to sleep less than he does. Cause he was like 2 to 3 minutes faster than me every single day. So I was like, I'm just going to have to sleep less.
You have your two girls with you, and so one of them ran over the weekend, right? At Little Loggers.
Yes, Caroline did. She's watching TV, but yeah, we just got back from Little Loggers. Yeah, she did.
Congratulations. And who's this?
This is Addie.
Hi, Addie.
I'm watching a show too.
You're watching a show too? Yep. All right, go back to your sister. So I knew, like, after the first day, I was 2.5 hours behind the FKT going into camp the first night. And I was just like, all right, I'll sleep. I slept an hour the first night, and he slept, like, I think he stopped for 7 hours. Mm-hmm. So I got my sort of my lead. When I woke up the next day, I was like 4 hours ahead. And then at the next day, I lost another 2 hours. So I was only 2 hours ahead. So I kept like going back and forth with sleep and losing my pace. But so yeah, okay. it was close coming into it. Yeah.
Eric, you said you have so many questions. What's next?
Oh, I thought I had a lot already. Well, we've had you on several times with FKTs, at least three, right, Grace?
Yeah, I know we've talked about Mid-State before, but you came on after Mason Dixon. And I don't know if it came on after Mid-State or not.
Anywho.
I don't remember.
You're the most.
One was just general on FKTs. Then Mid-State. Or I'm sorry, then Mason-Dixon. And then.
Yeah,
it must be three. I don't know. But you're the most experienced FKT-er attempter that we talk to. And we're talking unsupported FKTs, which is even more impressive in its own right, in my opinion. And these are huge ones. This isn't a cute little 17-mile trek and you try to be as fast as you can. You're carrying everything on your back, and you have a homemade vest and all that stuff. Was that all the same this time, or what was there anything big that you changed in your strategy this time?
So I completely re-sewed my like entire backpack vest strap. I used a different material. I wanted to sort of lighten it up and use a different material. And I also made the pack adjustable from like the top. I don't know if you've heard of Nashville Packs. They're a popular like slack pack company out of Nashville. They have great packs that are like super customizable and modular. And I sort of stole their idea from, they use like line locks up on the top. And so I made it a lot more adjustable, so I could as the pack got lighter, I could sort of tighten it up, and when it was super heavy, I could sort of loosen it out. Because on the Ben Mackay that I attempted in March, I had a lot of shoulder pain, and it just wasn't adjustable enough. But so besides that, I think everything else was pretty much the same. I don't really carry a whole lot of gear. I have like 9 pounds of gear, and most of it's like electronics and batteries and stuff.
How was the weather?
Weather was perfect. Absolutely perfect. I booked a flight into Minneapolis and a flight home with zero like room on either side. So I was like, I basically flew right after my wife, Laura, finished. She was done with school. She works at a high school. So she was done with high school for the year. So she had like 2 days after she finished, I flew out, and then I had to be back for little loggers. So yeah. I was like, whatever the weather is, I got to just live with it. And I just kept refreshing like 10 days out. And there was supposed to be rain on like the third and fourth day. Then it was only like a little bit of rain, and then no rain. And then it was, I got really, really lucky. But it was kind of funny because the very final day when I was heading into the finish, there was a giant thunderstorm that was like chasing me down. And I was like looking at the radar, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And the finish, the southern terminus is actually a 2 mile hike into the woods on the border with Wisconsin. So I had to hike 2 miles into the woods, tap the sign, and then I signed the logbook. And then as I was signing it, these huge, big, fat raindrops started falling down. And then this like crazy Midwest thunderstorm just like blew in. It was terrifying. But at the same time, I was like so delirious that I was like, whatever.
Kind of epic.
Yeah. But yeah, the weather was perfect, and it was really long days. Sunrise was at 5 a.m. and sunset was at 9 p.m. Wow. So yeah, that was definitely an advantage for me, because I'm a lot faster when it's light out versus dark.
Mm-hmm. So how does this rank among other trails that you've done, not just FKTs, but other trails that you've done? How does it rank?
As far as trails, it's pretty incredible. There's amazing campsites on the trail. Like every 7 miles, there's like a beautiful campsite overlooking like a lake or a vista or a river. And that was the toughest part, was that at night I'd smell the campfire smoke and I'd see people sort of hanging out and chatting, and I'd just sort of wave at them from afar.
Yeah.
And so it was tough when you're sort of by yourself, just cruising along, and then you know you're going into the darkness of the night, and you have to like see these people like having great times next to the campfire.
Yeah.
And it goes past or through a few little towns, so you can hop off. Like if you were doing a through hike, you could hop off and do like a resupply or stay in a hotel or get a burger and a beer in town.
Right.
And so it's a great trail for that. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just totally different. Like the views and the terrain, it was very diverse too. I'd be going through like a boreal forest, like very like reminiscent of northern Vermont or like the White Mountains. And then all of a sudden I'd pop out into like a deciduous forest. And then I'd be in like a bog versus, and then going like over a mountain looking at Lake Superior, which looks like an ocean. So yeah. it was super diverse. It was really cool. And it was constantly changing, so you never really got bored of the scenery.
Oh, that's amazing. And for anybody who has not seen one of the Great Lakes, especially Superior in Michigan, like it's called a lake, but they're really, really big. you can't see across them or anything. Like they're absolutely beautiful.
Grace, is it Superior?
It is Superior.
Wonder if that's why they named it that.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's just bigger than you expect. Like my first time taking Jason there, he was like, yeah, this is much bigger than I thought it was going to be. Like you can surf on the lakes. You get waves that are that big. It's just that there's no tide and there's no salt. But other than that, yeah.
Clarifying that.
So the last town that I hit going north before the trailhead is called Grand Marais, and it has like very like New England vibes to it. There's like a little lighthouse on like a cove, and there's seagulls. You feel like you're next to the ocean. It doesn't feel like and what's interesting is this is a good tip that I got from the community, was people said by the water, it's significantly colder than inland, because the trail sort of like, it'll come down towards the water and it'll like loop back up inland, and it's 10 to 15 degrees colder by the water.
Yeah.
And so at night it would get really cold. And if I camped near the water, I'd have to sort of be prepared for a cold night. So.
Yeah. And Superior is a really, really cold lake. It's the deepest of all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's wild. Like there's ships on the lakes. A lot of people don't expect this stuff. There's a lot of shipwrecks in the lakes because of like from years and years ago. But yeah, it's just a lot bigger than people realize. So it's imagine that it's next to the ocean, because it looks like that. It just doesn't smell salty. That's all. It smells like a lake.
How are they formed, Grace?
Glaciers.
Good job.
We learned this stuff in elementary school.
You know, we do, and I think it's interesting stuff, but maybe some people weren't listening that day or hanging out with their boyfriend. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a boyfriend to hang out with back then.
No, they are. That's called the Great Lakes for a reason, because as far as lake goes, they're beyond enormous.
Jason, when I took Jason there for the first time, he's like, wow, this is like Ocean City, only it's clean and there's no people.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, don't tell anybody about it. It's beautiful and we like it that way. Just don't let anybody know.
I agree. An ocean with no salt is my kind of ocean.
Yeah. Well, see, most of the most of the lakeshore. I don't know about the Minnesota or the Wisconsin side, but on the Michigan side, most of the lakeshore on Lake Michigan is public land. So you can just walk on the lake for miles and miles and miles and miles. And you never hit private land. So it's really nice. Hmm. Yep. Anywho, let's get back to this FKT. So what made you choose this one to begin with? I mean, you've kind of had a little project going with a lot of the state forest trails in Pennsylvania. Then you went to Benton McKay, which didn't go quite as planned. I'd also want to hear about that. But what made you choose Superior?
I was just looking for like another 300-ish mile trail. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of done with the Pennsylvania trails. The only one I have left is the Baker Trail.
Okay.
So I'm waiting for, they have to finish like a bridge over a railroad to complete the Baker. Once they do that, I'll see what I do with that one. So I was looking for like a 300-ish mile trail, and I was, it had to be in June. So I wasn't going to redo the Benton McKay in June because it's so hot down there. I was, everybody just said you're crazy if you try an FKT or just to hike it in June. And coincidentally, a lot of people said I was crazy for hiking the Superior Hiking Trail in June. Because apparently that's like really bad bug season up there.
Yep.
And so people are like, you're nuts. You're going to be eaten alive by the mosquitoes and the black flies. And it's like, wait till August. Don't do it now.
Yeah.
And so I had no choice. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. And so basically I was looking for a trail, and I was looking for something that had like a competitive time that wasn't just something where I had to finish. I wanted to like fight for the FKT, and this had a really competitive time. So after I did a little research, and I was like, oh, it's a pretty easy trail to get to, relatively speaking. Flight to Minneapolis, two buses to the northern terminus, and then I got a ride from a member of the community.
Wow.
So relatively easy to get to.
Yeah.
Like 12 hours.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I hopped out of this guy named JD gave me a ride from Grand Marais to the northern terminus, which is like an hour, because I just posted on the Facebook group asking for a ride. He offered. So I hopped out of the car, and the mosquitoes, like, I've camped and backpacked in Pennsylvania year round. I backpacked in Vermont, New Hampshire. I've been to Maine. I was like, how bad can it be? So I bought a head net. I've never used a head net before. I was like, how bad can it be? And I've experienced everywhere. I got out of his Jeep, and it was insane. Like, I've never been inundated by so many mosquitoes. Like, I was wearing a short sleeve shirt, and 20 landed on my arm and just started to bite me. I was like, what did I get myself into?
Especially when you're sweaty. Like, the mosquitoes, whenever I go back home in the summertime, I don't run on the trails. They're not as bad when you're on the road, but out like on trail, and especially if you're always next to a lake, because there's so many lakes in the Midwest, you're always next to water.
Gosh. Yep.
And they, they breed in water. And the mosquito, here in Pennsylvania, I don't even wear bug spray because it's just not that bad here.
Yeah.
But I think that's because my comparison is the Midwest.
Yeah. And so I camped the first night a mile and a half from the trailhead on the trail, like the first campsite. And I wore the bug head net, and I got into my like little bug bivy, and I could hear like the vibration of the mosquitoes around the bug bivy. It was insane. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this for 5 days. And then in the scheme of things, once I started moving, and I fortunately bought a really, really thin sun hoodie that was like a scuba head and came down, and I sprayed it with permethrin, and I wore that the entire time. And honestly, anytime I was moving, they didn't really catch up to me. So I just had to keep moving.
Yeah.
And they were only bad sunset, or I'm sorry, sunrise, like dusk and dawn. So when I rolled into camp at 2 a.m, they were not there with me.
That's awful.
That does sound horrible.
Yeah.
What about other critters? Did you see anything fun?
So what did I see? A couple porcupines. I heard wolves howling to each other. That was really cool.
That's awesome.
Thanks, bud. Wolves howling to each other, which was wild. I went over this mountain, and I was about to pop in headphones, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden I came across the giant, like, biggest pile of bear poop I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I was like, this has got to be like a 500 plus pound bear. This is terrifying. And it was, I don't know, seemed relatively new. I'm not like a tracker, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put my headphones in. We're going to keep all of our senses with us. And then like 2 hours later, that was right at sunset. 2 hours later, I just heard the wolves just like calling back and forth to each other. And I just sort of listened and just like heard, I just would listen to them talking to each other. It was really, really cool.
Ah, it's so cool.
Yep. Yeah, saw moose tracks. Didn't see any moose. I was hoping to see a moose. Not firsthand. Yeah. Saw a lot of garter snakes of all things. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of garter snakes.
How about humans? Like, it's a pretty busy trail, you said?
A lot of humans. In certain sections. There was like two sections that were pretty remote and I didn't see a lot of people in there. But there were a lot, I saw a lot of people just like backpacking and hiking. And it was funny that a lot, because I posted on the Facebook group, a lot of them would say like, oh, are you Bob? Are you going for the record? And then it was really like sweet. Like I passed one group and I just said, you know, I was like, morning. And they said, good morning. And as they passed, they were probably like 10 yards behind me. They just said, we're rooting for you, Bob. And they're like, you got this. So
doesn't that like just give you superpower though? Something seriously. Like that. It's amazing. Yeah. That's very awesome.
So they were like subtle about it. But yeah, so. It was really neat.
I guess they're probably smart enough to know that they didn't want to try supporting you. So that's very cool though.
But yeah, so I ran into a lot of people and just chatted with people. You know, I probably wasted an hour and a half, 2 hours talking with people on the trail. There was just so many. You get a conversation for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I tell them what I was doing. They're like, oh, don't let me keep you. I'm like, seriously, I'm like, I'd go insane if I didn't talk to anybody for 5 days. So
how about shoes? What did you pick?
So I picked the Topo Mountain Racer 4s.
Okay.
I really struggled with this. I didn't know. I knew it's a really rooty trail and rocky and wet, like muddy. So I wanted something like, I only run with like, what is it? Vibram, like Mega Grip.
Right.
I just don't trust anything else. I don't really like non-Vibram shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else really compares.
No.
It's seriously. Like I can handle like the Mason Dixon, I did non-Vibram. And even the Bent McKay, because it's not a super rocky trail. As long as it's not wet. But this I knew I needed that. But the shoes, I don't know what the deal was, but the like over the my big toes, they like creased. And again, this is like something that only happens if you're walking 100 miles straight. Like I don't think if you're running 10 miles here and there you're gonna experience this. Yeah. But the creases like cut my big toes and gave me like blood blisters on the tops of my big toes. So like if you look at my toes now, it looks like they were like burned and had like skin grafts put back on them.
Wow.
Like they're like they the tops, that's the only part that really got trashed was the tops. But yeah, otherwise the shoes were fine, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not super, not psyched with the material on top. It like, I don't know. The way it creased, yeah, it was just too stiff, not flexible enough.
Yeah. Okay. Eric? But,
yeah.
So what was your overall time?
5 days, 12 hours, 1 minute, 56 seconds.
And what was your what was your hopes and to do it in?
So it's kind of interesting on this one. I didn't have it. Like, usually I have an eagle, beagle, seagull. And all I really did for this one was I knew Alan's time was 5 days, 14 hours. And then I did the math. And so, like, if you, for the, I assumed it was somewhat similar to the Pennsylvania Appalachian Trail. And so I did the math. And like, if you do the minutes per mile, including sleep, it was exactly 5 days, 12 hours on the Superior Hiking Trail. If you like multiply it by whatever the minutes per mile times 310. So in my head, I just said 5 days, 12 hours. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty close.
When did he set the FKT?
2 years ago.
Oh, so it's been there for quite a while.
Yeah, a while. And what's interesting, like a little like trail drama, I posted on Facebook saying, hey, I'm going to go out and set this FKT. And this was maybe 2 months ago or a month and a half ago. And somebody else posted and said, I'm going out the day before you to attempt the same thing. And so I was like, oh, awesome. Like, let's flip a coin. Like, who? One person will go north, the other goes south, and then we'll just high five in the middle and then see who gets the fastest time.
Yeah.
And whoever that was deleted the post like a minute later. And so I don't know who the name was, or I have no idea who it was. And it was really funny because on the first night that I was on the FKT, I was passing a campsite and there was a woman who saw me and she's like, Bob, come here. And I was like, hi, how you doing? And her name was Irina and she was from Germany and she was on the trail for 8 days. That was her last night. And she was like, I think you should know something. Last night when we were at camp, somebody came in very late and they were only there for a short while and they left very early. So there's somebody else out on the trail moving very fast. So I wanted you to know so that you can prepare yourself. So, I have no idea who it was or what happened, but that was kind of funny that somebody else was out there. And I kept like looking in the mud to see if there was like, if I could see the tracks and be like, oh, is this like, you know,
yeah.
Is it, are they like Hokas or are they like Saucony? Yeah. Like, is there, but I got in like the super remote sections where there was not a lot of people and I didn't see any tracks and I'm like, maybe they bailed. I couldn't tell. So who knows?
Yeah. That's wild. Well, yep. You have a mystery competition out there.
I know. And, hey, maybe they still got it. I just submitted all of like the documentation and the GPX tracks and like my trip report today. So
that's exciting. Oh my gosh, I just lost it. I have a million questions anyway, so I'll just come up with another one. Tell us more about your gear. Do you use poles when you go on this long stuff? I figured you did.
Yeah. There's no way I could do it without poles because I'm like, so my pack when I started was 9 pounds of gear and 15 pounds of food. So 24 pounds, I just need poles to like, it's like, I don't know, like an appendage, like the poles are like an appendage and I just use them to sort of bounce me back and forth.
Right.
And I couldn't even imagine, there's no way I'd be able to do it without poles.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How's the body recovering?
It was pretty good. It was, so from my feet up, I recovered super quick. Honestly, like the next day or two, if you told me I had to go run a marathon, I probably could have. From my like ankles down, my feet were really like, my feet are still numb. Like my toes are numb. Like lots of blisters and just like like pain. I don't know how to describe it. Just like the soles of my feet are just like in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which nothing compared to the Mason Dixon Trail. Like that was just bonkers from all that pavement.
So much road.
Yeah, like that road was crazy. Like totally different pain. This pain was just like more of a numb, like numb pain. But yeah, physically recovered super quick. Mentally, I'm definitely like in like a foggy haze. It's just the lack of like such little sleep. My brain gets really like, I don't know. It's just like tough to recover from that. And it's kind of crazy because you think it would take like, oh, if you have one or two good sleeps,
yeah,
you'll be back to normal. But it takes me like almost 2 weeks to recover from like such little sleep, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Now, did you hallucinate at all?
Oh my gosh. This is the by far the most I've ever hallucinated. I knew going into the last 100 miles, I woke up at the same campsite. Basically I shadowed Alan and stayed at every campsite he did. Mm. One night I went like 2 miles further than he did.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, every night I stayed at the same campsite he did, and I would wake up and be a little bit ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the campsite he stayed at, that's 103 miles from the finish. I did the math and I was like, if I'm 2 minutes per mile slower than him in the next 100 miles, I'm going to lose it by an hour. So he slept for 30 minutes at a campsite. That was like 56 miles from the southern terminus. So as I was walking in the morning, I just kept doing the math and kept trying to figure out what I needed to do. And I just finally came to the conclusion. I was like, I'm just going to go straight through. So I went from basically 103 miles straight through. And the only time I slept was into the night. Around 2 a.m., I just lied like face down in the dirt, and I set my alarm for 10 minutes. Like, didn't even take my pack off, just like threw my poles down, lied face down. Set my alarm for 10 minutes, and I woke up 6 minutes later, and my hips were just like in agony. And I've talked with Erica about this, Erica Lubera. Just like such like agonizing pain, but without, normally I sleep on a sleeping pad, like a blow up air pad with like just lying on the ground. It was so painful that I couldn't even sleep more than 6 minutes. And then I just lied there for 4 minutes until my alarm went off. It went off. And then I just got up and walked. I kept walking through the night. So I had 6 minutes sleep. And the previous night I slept for 2.5 hours. Before that, I slept for 2.5 hours. So my brain was just like craving dreaming.
Yeah.
And so like going into that final day, it's like this weird, like it's first like a euphoric feeling where like everything gets like, it's almost like you're dreaming. It feels like you're invincible. And I'm just like, just sort of floating through like this, like fake made up like game I'm playing. And then when I got within like the final 30 miles, I was seeing like people everywhere, like in the forest, like on each side, cabins, every tree and like rock, I was seeing faces. And it was kind of funny because I was like taking pictures and pointing to it and sending Lara the pictures and being like baby doll head, like, superhero villain face, like, you know, gremlin from Frozen, like those little troll doll things. So I was like documenting these like crazy things. She's like, none of that looks like what you're saying. And so like, it's still like reality, like, you know, what's going on, but yeah. I'm just like seeing these crazy things all over the place. It's hard to explain. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's so wild. But you were able to still stay on task and still keep moving and figure out that you needed to go straight on that trail, right?
Yeah. So I actually have, so what I do is I have two watches. My left watch is my Garmin, which has like waypoints to the next turns. So I know like in 1 mile, I need to make a left. After that, it's 2 miles and then I make a right. And then on my right watch, I had my Coros, which has like a breadcrumb map.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's just a red line and I just have to stay on that line because in the last like 30 miles, there was like one section of a state park. And I was convinced that I was just doing like loops in this park.
Right.
I was doing the same trail over and over. And fortunately, like I can see in my watch, if you retrace your steps, it goes from like a red line to a white line. So I knew that I wasn't retracing my steps, but I'm like, I swear I've done this trail. And then I had like serious deja vu where I've been here before, but I've never been to Minnesota before. And I was like, then I went over a bridge and I'm like, I've been over this bridge 20 times already. I don't understand what's going on. It's just your brain is like playing these crazy tricks with you and like trying to convince you to do other things. And like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's wild. I'm good on you for staying focused. I remember listening to the guy who he was running the Iditarod one year and he came close to finishing, but he was like a mile from the finish line, but he thought he was done. So he started to go to his hotel, but he was just in the middle of the snow and took off his tracker and he took off his sled and he was just wandering around in the snow. Cause he didn't realize that he wasn't done yet.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I'm convinced that it's like my brain trying to dream, like forcing dreams in when you're still conscious, which is a really uncomfortable feeling. Cause it like, we'll see little things. Like, for example, I saw ferns and the ferns that I saw, my brain turned that into the gills of a great white shark. That was a Mylar, like a life-size Mylar balloon. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And I just like walked past it.
Wow.
So yeah, there was a lot going on and I was like, yeah.
The weird thing is like, there's so many similarities in this stuff that you're talking about. Like you mentioned that you were playing, like it felt like you were playing a game. And that's exactly how I felt when I had serious went delusional when I did Tahoe. I'm in a race to instantly my head clicked and it was like, why are we playing this capture the flag game? Because we're following ribbons. But that's the instant. Yeah. Like my brain was convinced, what are we doing? And then not only that, but exactly what you just said, I was convinced my pacer was sabotaging me and taking me in circles. And I told it, I called him out on it. I said, put down a stick and I bet you we're going to cross this stick again. So my brain was smart enough to know, like with it enough to know that you could put down something and if we're going in a loop, we're going to see it again. But it was so far gone that it wasn't believing. Like I knew, I felt like we were making constant rights or constant lefts. I was like, there's no way that you're sabotaging me here. But yet it wasn't. He was just following the flags. And it's the same like you just said. It felt like you were going in circles. It's kind of weird that it's the brain, even though you lose your marbles, that it's focused on those couple things, seems like.
That's wild.
I don't know. That's odd, though.
I don't know. That's some of the fun stuff that you get to remember. So I like to steal this from Anish. What's your highest high?
So it was kind of a unique trail. It's kind of funny that I was way closer to quitting on the Mason-Dixon trail than at any point on this trail. Like there was no point in this entire effort that I was like even remotely close to quitting or even like it crossed my mind. I was just like, just pushing on through. I think it was partly because it was so beautiful and I just really enjoyed like seeing whatever was new. And I was really comfortable on the trail. You know, it's one of those things you can't really like bottle and like prepare for next time. It's just, I just felt really comfortable. I mean, my lowest low was, it wasn't like a single point in time. It was just the fact that I couldn't keep pace with Alan. And I was like, what is he doing that? Cause he didn't really run that much. He just was consistently like a fast hiker, I guess. And it was just kind of rough that I was like, if I could just like walk faster, I could sleep a little bit more. So that was frustrating. But I mean, the highs were really the final day when it was weird because I kind of resigned myself in going into the final night. I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get the FKT. I think I'm going too slow and I'm taking too much time. So I finally just sat down and I had like a huge blister on my foot and I needed to like take care of some stuff. And so I just sat down for 15 minutes and like popped the blister and like retaped my feet and I put on some compression socks, and I started walking again. And then everything just sort of spun around and felt so much better. And then going into the next day, I just felt super positive. And I was like, whatever happens, I'm just, even though I was like so tired, I was like, whatever happens, I still hiked the trail. I had a great time. It was a cool experience. Yeah. And then when I got through Duluth, I was like looking at my time and I'm like, I might be able to do this. I like might be able to do this. And I got really excited and then just started like picking up the pace. And I think besides the first day, the last 50 miles was my fastest pace, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is kind of my thing. I always go fast out of the gate. And then the final day, I kind of push it. And those are always like my two, like, mm-hmm. I'm able to kind of close. But it was really fast the final time this time.
Yeah, it was so close. Now, have you talked to, you said his name's Alan. Have you talked to him since then?
Yeah, I had a chat with him before and after. He's actually hiking the PCT right now.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Very cool. But yeah, I had a great conversation with him beforehand and then after. And it was also really interesting. I like felt like I was hiking with him during this attempt because I had his GPX track I was using as my map of my Khoros. And so I could see if he like stopped to get water or I knew he took a bunch of naps at like campsite. So I could see where he would like take a nap.
Yeah.
And so I'd like make up these little stories in my head where like, I was like, oh, he like went over there and then lied over there and did that. And like, you got water at this creek. Like, so.
Ah, that's so great. You had like this little buddy the whole time.
Yeah. Cool experience. Yeah.
Would you do it again?
Would I do it again? If I haven't done it, I would absolutely hike it again for the first time. Mm-hmm. I have no real desire to go. Like if somebody goes out and beats my time, I have no desire to go out. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I won't.
Well, hold on, Grace. Let me get one in. Jeez. What's next on your radar?
Are you going to say?
I will always say. If somebody wants to go out and set a time and a trail that I'm going to go, like if they're faster than me, good for them.
Yeah. It
pushes me further. Yeah. So next is Eastern States. I actually signed up again this year. So the only race I do is Eastern States.
That's awesome. Fun.
So
that's just not even something that I think of when we have you on the show. I don't even think about talking about races because I forget that you do Eastern States every once in a while. So
yeah,
it was
actually interesting. There's like a local like city park here in Philly that's got really good trails, really, really good like technical trails. Mm-hmm. And they have a like every Thursday they have like a short 3 to 5 mile race. And so I joined a bunch of those this past spring. And it was cool to like, I don't know, run fast on trails because I'm normally like long, slow distance, zone 2 heart rate. You know, I don't really sprint all out like Eric does.
Yeah.
So it was wild to like have my heart at like 160 to 170 beats per minute, feeling like it was going to explode.
Totally different.
Yeah. When I would finish, I'd be like, I would much rather hike, you know, 20 hours straight than run 5 miles at 160 beats per minute.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling.
I did 10 minutes on the stair climber this morning and that was just awful. I don't know why I did that. 10 minutes.
Before I forget or we forget, we mentioned Erica Lubera, who now holds the female unsupported FKT on Mid-State. She just won Manitou's Revenge this past weekend and with a blistering fast time, 5 minutes behind the course record, which is mind-boggling because that race brings out some of the best mountain and rock shuffling runners there is, and it's a 50-mile race that eats you alive. So kudos to her. That was a huge effort, and she is just getting stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see what she does next, too. Congratulations, Erica.
Yeah. All right, Grace, wrap her up.
Okay. Bob, what are you doing this weekend? How did your daughter do at Little Loggers?
She did really well. It was kind of funny. So she insisted this year that she go out by herself. So I was like, totally cool. She's six. And it was funny because last year when I took her, when I like checked her in, I was like, do you have like a map of the course or something? And when I checked her in, they're like, there is literally a child that's registered at 0 years old doing this. She'll be fine. So she went out, ran it. I think she ran it in 39 minutes this year, which was like 18 minutes faster than last year. Wow. Yeah. But it was really funny because I was walking out. There's like a figure eight that does like a double loop. So I walked out to get her picture and just sort of check on her. So I ran out like a mile to like the loop. Mm-hmm. And it's like a bunch of volunteers are like dressed as pirates shooting water on all the kids. And so I'm by myself, no kid with me. And I'm like coming down towards the pirates and I'm holding my phone about to take a picture. And all of a sudden John Schaefer unloads like 2 gallons of water directly on me.
Oh and, boy.
Like, I was just like drenched and I was like, no kids. I'm like by myself. And it was just amazing. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
That's John.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, gotcha. I was like, awesome.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about that race. It is very kid friendly and it is a free trail race, which I think is very cool.
It's amazing. Like they put on such an amazing event and the kids are all super psyched. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the fastest kid was like an 8-year-old that ran a 7-something pace, which is bonkers. Yeah.
On trail.
Yeah. With like, I don't know, a couple hundred feet of vert.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That is awesome. And I think so. Anybody listen in Pennsylvania, there are some races underneath the Roxylvania banner, and a lot of those the proceeds go to several kids races, including the Little Loggers Trail Fest. There's some other ones too, but
yeah, it's a series now. You got Canyon Kids coming up here in the canyon and stuff like that. If you got little tykes, sign them up. It's good social skills, it's good physical skills, all the stuff. It's good pizza eating skills.
Mm-hmm. Those are critical skills right there. What kind of skills did you get, Eric?
From what?
From running.
My good looks, basically.
Yeah, definitely. You seriously aged like a lot over this past weekend.
I got a little bed. I'm hot.
That's because you're anyway,
Bob, you're amazing. Thanks for joining us and telling us your story. We enjoy hearing every book you write with your FKTs. So keep doing them, keep coming on, keep inspiring others to do the crazy stuff because it is an art form in its own right, as is racing, as is trail running, marathoning. The FKT thing is special. Obviously, you know that. So it's pretty cool that you enjoy it so much and you get so much out of it.
It is.
Always. I learn something new with every single one.
Yeah.
Love it.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Eric, what are you doing this weekend? Good answer.
I don't know what I'm doing this weekend, honestly. Boy. I don't know. I have to get on that. I don't know if I have anything going scheduled. I'm boring. Sorry. What are you doing, Grace?
Volunteering for On the Rocks. Our good friend, Scott Newcomer. He is the race director for On the Rocks. And we have some pretty fly aid stations coming up. And I'm super excited. The theme is Americana Cookout. So we have 3 aid stations. One of them is going to be just pickles. Don't yawn in the middle of me explaining my aid stations.
Hurry up.
Pickles And another one is ketchup and mustard. And the other one is hot dogs and hamburgers. And I am going to wear my pickle shorts. And I'm very excited about it. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. All right. Well, have fun with that. Hope you get lots of runners, racers, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Bob, thanks again. Have a great week, both of you. Stay cool. It's stupid hot out.
Yeah.
Drink plenty of fluids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take us out, Grace.
Take a nap, Bob. Thanks, everybody. Listen to us all the time and share with your friends, and you'll be super cool. Thanks, everybody. Bye.